Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 24 of the Puckle TCG Cast. Of course, Puckle stands for Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name that Thatch came up with, and we're running with it. I am your host, Lord Yashiro, and with me I have two guys, once again, from two different universes, apparently. Now, first, some say that when he was born, he drove his mother to home from the hospital. It is Basket.
That is a very true story.
Very true, apparently. And, of course, with us here today, some say that he's able to kill two stones with one bird. It's none other than Thatch!
That is also a true story. I throw birds at rocks all the time.
Welcome, guys. How have you guys been? How's life treating you? How's Pokemon treating you? Let's start with you, Basket.
Pretty well. I started a new Nuzlocke. I haven't done much with the TCG, but I'm pretty excited about my Nuzlocke. I wasn't super excited about getting Popplio as my starter, but but it was a male, so I named it Jeffree Star, and now I absolutely love it.
That's good. How about you, Thatch?
I actually did do TCG stuff. I talked about this on the main show. But I did. I went to League this past week.
Oh, how did that go?
That was a lot of fun. I also see why Beaverlout wanted me to go to League, because there were like four people there.
So that's a bummer.
That's a recruitment strategy, right there.
There were four people playing. I should say there were definitely more people there that have come to play before, but just didn't bring their cards.
Yeah,
I should make that clear. But there were like four people there. So there's still a lot of fun.
So I didn't, I haven't done anything Pokemon related in the sense of the TCG or the video game, but I was on SakuraCon here in Seattle this weekend, and it was very awesome to see Pokemon having a great big presence at SakuraCon. And so many booths that were selling the cards at good prices, so many cosplaying. I saw about at least, no lie, six different couples dressed as Team Rocket, Jesse and James. And every single one of them were fantastic. So it's always awesome to see Pokemon present at SakuraCon or any other of those conventions. So it was definitely a lot of fun. But let's go ahead and move on, because there's a lot to talk about. We have a big show for you guys today. We have some news coming out. Some new cards have dropped. Some of them very interesting, and we're going to talk about them. Our Talkpoko Beach of the day is going to be our guilty pleasure decks. What decks do you like playing that you know they're not good, but it's still so much fun? And of course, we're going to move on with deck of the episode. Then our trainer's mail, which some of you have actually emailed us. Thank you. Thank you. It's always awesome to have your emails. And we're going to finish off, of course, with Pokemon 15 questions. Who's that Pokemon? So let's go ahead and start this show with the news. Drop it.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go ahead and start with the juicy info. Now, we finally have a Tapu Lele non-GX card revealed with, of course, a Tapu Fini GX card revealed. So let's go ahead and go through those. So for Sun and Moon 2 Plus, we're going to have our Tapu Lele. It's a psychic Pokemon, of course. HP 110. It's first attack, Psycho Wave for one psychic. 20 damage times the number of energies attached to your opponent's Pokemon. This is basically a Mute one-sided Mewtwo. And its second attack, which is what I believe it's the real interesting juicy bit, it is Magical Swap. For one psychic and one colorless, rearrange the damage counters on your opponent's Pokemon in any way you like. Now, this is very interesting. Now, something like rearranging damage counters is either limited to your side, or it's a Pokemon ability that allows you to do it a limited amount. But for this attack, you can rearrange all of your opponent's damage counters in any of his Pokemon. Now, that's interesting. What do you guys think about that? Basket.
Well, I like that it has the little Mewtwo staple move that's pretty useful.
For one psychic, too, which is pretty fast.
Yeah, and it's especially useful when hitting for weakness, of course. So I like that it has that, and it can come right out of the gate with it.
Yeah.
I think that the magical swap move is pretty interesting, and I like its potential for just to kind of like have the Tapu Lele on the back burner, and then when it's because it's a basic, so if you're already running a psychic deck, it's not going to be a problem to have it be kind of like a
tech card.
I don't know, a little tech card there. Let's say, you've got is running a two-stage evolution line, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they've got their basics out. Like, for instance, Greninja. Like, yeah. If they were doing a Greninja deck and they had all of their, they had the
Frogadiers.
Full Greninja. Yeah, and they had all their Frogadiers on the back burner, then you could just rearrange the damage counters and take out.
Yeah, whatever you need. It's definitely in something like, for example, if you're doing a lot of damage to a Pokemon and that player uses Ninja, for example, Ninja Boy, and switches out for something that he doesn't mind getting killed, so he doesn't lose that GX or EX card that he's playing, you can just move, then put Tapu Lele and just move that damage counter to something that will hurt him once more. So it's interesting. Not saying it's going to win any championships. Not saying that there's going to be decks around it. I'm saying it's super interesting. And for league play, might be actually quite fun to play, for sure. How about you, Thatch? Any opinions?
No, it's definitely going to be fun for league play. I think it's going to be a blast. Just because, you get to come out the gate. That's really nice. Honestly, I'm really happy with the amount of basics that are just coming out of this set.
Me too.
That aren't GXs or EXs. Like, I'm really happy with them. Like, the amount of quote-unquote good basics.
Yeah.
Just because losing one prize is way better than losing two.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm a big fan of running non-EX decks as well, or non-GX decks.
They're fun. They're a lot of fun.
I think it's a lot of fun. You don't have to spend a lot of money typically.
And when you beat a EX or GX heavy deck, the sourness.
Oh, it feels really good.
The sweet sourness of your opponent's tears is just something to live by.
I shut down Beaverless Volcanion last week with just a Silent Lab, and I beat it with Greninja. It was a lot of fun. And he beat me several other times as well. So that should be mentioned. I don't want him to be like, I don't want to be salty at me. But
but let's go ahead and move on to the next Tapu, which is Tapu Fini. We have a GX card. It was the last Tapu we didn't have a GX card for. And it's pretty interesting. An HP of 170. It's basic, of course. It has, of course, three attacks. Its first attack, Aqua Ring for one colorless, 20 damage. And you may switch the opponent's Pokemon with one of your... you can switch this Pokemon with one of your bench Pokemon, not your opponent's, I'm sorry. So basically, it's a hit-and-run type attack. It's pretty basic. It only does 20 damage, which is pretty low, although it just costs one colorless, which is something that is pretty good. It makes it pretty fast. Now, its second attack is Hydro Shoot. For two water and one colorless, you discard two water energies attached to this Pokemon and do 120 damage to one of your opponent's Pokemon. So basically, it's a sniping attack. You can't apply weakness and resistance to that for a bench Pokemon. Pretty interesting. The fact that you have to lose two water hurts. Now, of course, we got to remember that we are getting Aquabatch, which means that we can retrieve those waters from the discard pile. We also have things like Fisherman, which allows you to get more water energies from your discard pile. So there are options around it. It's not unusable. 120 is a great amount of damage, but it's 120. You really can't kill much except other than maybe those shamings on the bench is one thing that might be knocked out for it with that. So it's good. It's definitely it's good. Might be better, but it's good. And of course, it's GX attack, which is Tapu Storm GX with one water only. Shuffle your opponent's active Pokemon and all cards attached to it into your opponent's deck. Now, this is where it's a great, great tech move. Now, I've been vocal in this show before that I particularly don't like GX attacks that don't do damage or don't automatically KO an opponent's Pokemon, just because you can only do this attack once. So you want to at least get prizes out of it, because that's the whole point of winning the game, is to get those prizes. So I'm a little hesitant whenever there's a, either you have to be really good at setup, like Solgaleo, which you can get five energies from your deck, or something like this is also amazing. You're not getting any prize, but you're completely disrupting your opponent 100%. That Mega Rayquaza that he had set up in his active, just destroying your Pokemons, gone with one water energy, gone back to the deck. There's no way he can set it up back again on the next turn, or at least not easily. So I really like that. Quick, let's start with you this time, Thatch. What are your opinions on Tapu Lele? Tapu Fini.
I think Tapu Storm is great. Uh-huh. I really like that, especially, I don't know. You're not going to get a lot of knockouts on Super EX Pokemon. And I could just see something like, I don't know, like a fully set up Volcanion. And you're, I mean, Tapu Fini's not going to have a problem with that. But yeah, I mean, you could have trouble with that. And you could be like, well, your Pokemon's in your, you spend all this time setting it up. And for what? It's gone now.
Yeah.
I think it works better probably in the GX world. Yeah. I would have a lot more fun with that if it was something like, somebody had to put their Decidueye GX in the active position. Yeah. And then I would launch something like Tapu Storm GX. I feel like that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just to be able to, you're shuffling a Rollet back in, a Dartrix back in, and a Decidueye GX back in.
Yep.
And I think that alone is worth it. Just because you're not going to be able to take out that 240 HP right away, yeah. Especially with grass, unless you're running Volcanion.
Exactly.
So,
totally agree with you.
I think that's completely reasonable to do.
What about you, Basket?
So I think Hydro Shoot is very cool to me, since it's a spammable attack with the water patch.
Yeah.
Spammable as in not a GX, and there are plenty of times I had no option but to two-shot something. And having the chance to hit that big of a number would cure that issue if I could fit it in my deck.
Yeah.
The GX attack is also interesting to me because it has the power to, you know, like you said, like completely throw off your opponent. I mean, think about how devastating it would be if it, if you were able to, do it your first turn,
yeah,
or your second or third. I mean, if they spend the first 2 to 3 turns setting up a Pokemon and this happens, you are fighting the rest of the match to catch up, which is never where you want to be.
So I'm glad you mentioned the first turn thing. Thank you for reminding me, because I did not read the attack on its fullest. For all of you listening that think, oh my god, this is going to be like turn one gunk, it's going to be win on first turn. No, the attack does say if your opponent has no bench Pokemon, this attack fails. So you can't one-hit gunk anyone, but correct. You can still use it on first turn if your opponent did drop a bench Pokemon. So yeah.
Yeah, I meant on your first turn, like if you started second, that was my bad.
Yeah. No, it's fine. You can still use it on your turn if your opponent put an extra Pokemon in on his bench, but continue.
Right, yeah. That's never where you want to be. And I think it has It has the potential to have great synergy with Lysander as well, because if your opponent's you know, holding like something that would take just a ridiculous amount of energy to get set up,
yeah,
and you're able to pull that out and just throw all the energies and all the prior evolutions away back into their deck, like. That's, I mean, you're neutering him this horribly at that point, you know? So I think that that's, or him or her. And I think that's a, it's awesome. I love it.
Yep. So Tapu Fini, there you go, guys. Another great water. We were just talking on the chat just not too long ago with Relivy and all the guys, Joshua and all the guys on the Facebook group. FYI, shameless plug, go to facebook.com/ Puckle TCG, and you're going to see our group, and there's a lot of great people there. A lot of people.
The Discord showing... also does it too.
Huh? What was that?
Discord has a TCG channel as
Yes, of course. Go to our Discord. Thatch, do you want to plug that in real quick now?
I don't have the link because it's like a random thing. It'll be in the show notes.
You will do it on the show notes, yes. Anyway.
It's in the show notes.
So we're talking about water getting a lot of support, and Tapu Fini is another example of a great water that definitely could use all the support that is going to be provided by water. But let's move on real quick and continue on to a very interesting one. And this is Darkrai GX. Now, Darkrai GX, I love its ability. It's, of course, a basic Pokemon with an 180 HP. Its ability, once during your turn before you attack, if this card is in your discard pile, you may play this card to your bench and attach one dark energy from your discard pile to this card. So it will revive itself and attach an energy, meaning that you never really have to use a play it or worry about not having it on your hand. I mean, if you have it turn one in your hand and you have an Ultra Ball, discard it and it goes back, discard that Darkrai with an energy, and then you immediately just put it on your bench with that same energy. You didn't lose any cards that turn, and you got a free Pokemon from your discard from your deck with Ultra Ball. Anyway, let's continue on with the rest of the card. And then we have its first attack. It's Dark Rift with two dark energies and one colorless. 130, this attack damage isn't affected by resistance. This is pretty straightforward. And it's GX attack, Dead End, which is kind of ominous. If your opponent active Pokemon is affected with a special condition, that Pokemon is now knocked out. So that's a one-hit KO if your opponent is able, is in any type of conditions, which is pretty fun. I really like Darkrai GX. Let's start with you, Basket. What do you think about Darkrai?
All right. So first off, and I'm sure this is an unpopular opinion, but I am sick of all the Darkrai cards.
Oh my gosh! Right? They're like forever. It's been there forever.
Yeah.
When is there not been a Darkrai card in play?
Like, I get it. Darkrai is cool. Stop shoving it down my throat. Because there are so many cool Dark type Pokemon that could make great cards, but Darkrai and Yveltal get close to 100% of the love, and I'm pretty much tired of it.
I can't complain about that. You are completely 100% right.
That being said, I like the ability. I think it's interesting, and it's definitely a great ace to have up in your sleeve in certain situations. Because of the fact that both of its attacks cost 3, I think that it could be difficult to power up. Like, well, not necessarily difficult to power up because it's only 3, but the problem is, it's like, okay, yeah, I can throw out my Darkrai right then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And attach a dark energy to it. Well, there's still 3 turns that you got to go.
Yeah.
Right? So, two turns to get it to be able to attack.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So even though it's very cool ability, it's not like, game breaking like I thought it was when I first saw it, and then I saw that it was 2 dark and a colorless for each of those attacks, and I was like, oh, okay, this is
this now, is more reasonable. Let's move on to Thatch. Let's move on to Thatch and to see Thatch's opinion real quick. I want to do go back to you, Basket, and chime in on something. Well, go ahead, Thatch.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I mean, it would work really well with Acrobike. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be really cool. Or even I don't know, there I guess there isn't really a card that mills with dark type right now. That would be interesting.
There might be something, but I don't recall it out of the top of my head.
Yeah, if it exists, it's not being used right now.
Yeah,
And it could be used.
Yeah,
but if something milled, I think that would be incredibly interesting. Just being able to like pull it from your deck and throw it in the garbage, and then next turn it just pops up.
Yeah.
Or in that same turn, it pops up and it has a dark energy already attached to it. Granted, though, it does take 3 energy to do any kind of attack with it. Yeah. So it's still a little slow.
So going back to what Basket said, which is 100%. Now, looking around that, this card, where would it shine? In Expanded. Because Expanded has 2 things. Battle Compressor, where you can just discard it directly from your deck and it comes alive. And also Dark Patch, which is Aqua Patch, of course, but for dark energies, which means that you can retrieve more energies from your discard pile onto any dark type Pokemon on your bench. And of course, Darkrai would be able to benefit that. Not only would you be able to get Darkrai, you can discard like Darkrai and 2 energies, 2 dark energies with Battle Compressor. It goes back on life. It automatically attaches 1 energy, so that's 1 energy. You use Dark Patch, you attach the 2nd energy, and then you place your 3rd energy from your turn, the 1 energy you can place on your turn, and there we go. Turn 1, it can attack. So in Expanded, this card is going to be interesting. Now, of course, we are at the same time talking Expanded, which means that our cards that do a lot of damage and 130 damage might not cut it, right? But it is definitely an option if you want a quick attacker on turn 1 that can do 130 damage on turn 1 in Expanded. This is your man. This is your guy.
Yeah. So I had another thing I wanted to say too about this card as well.
Go ahead.
So the GX attack is powerful, but the issue here is that the card has no synergy with itself.
I get
you. And what I mean by that is it has no way to put a status on the opponent's active Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, if that 1 free dark energy that it gets when it comes out had, like, the ability to paralyze or something like that, if it costs 1 dark to do that, then it would work really well. Like, the synergy would be there because paralyze would, you know, like, keep it, so it would have a harder time moving out or doing anything, really. But a Pokemon that has an ability that I'm unaware of, that can like do this from the bench.
Ariados would be, that's right, would be the thing to pair it with, but I feel like it'd be so overkill to pair Ariados with it.
There we go, Batch. That's completely correct. Yes.
Just for 1 GX attack, exactly. It's not like it's worth it.
Yeah. So you're still right, Bob Basket. Yeah. It's kind of hard just because, so you can use the GX attack once. You're not going to pack a pair of... It's not just Ariados. It's Ariados and plus Spinarak. And if you want them to appear, you might want more than 1. So that's 4 deck space in your deck for 1 GX move. You really don't want to do that unless your deck already is around that strategy where you do want your opponent to be poisoned. Then you might say that that's fine. But I've yet to see a Dark Grass energy or a Dark Grass deck that's the whole basis of that deck.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like this suffers from the same issue that a lot of cards do, where it's like if you just had that 1 little thing extra, then this would be very, very playable instead of just falling short, you know.
And again, in Expanded though, it has Malakai. What's the name of the upside down squid?
Malamar.
Oh,
Malamar.
Yeah.
Which is Malamar EX, which is Pokemon ability is, you flip a coin if it's, I believe, right? If it's head, your opponent is asleep. Correct me if I'm wrong, I might be wrong on that. But it does cost sleepness on your opponent from the bench.
Yeah.
I don't remember the details, but I know it does. So that's an option that you can pair it with. Again, and I see this card being really good in Expanded. And Standard is still decent. But in Expanded, though, I can really see this card shine. Because doing 130 damage on turn 1... or being able to knock out a Pokemon, no matter what it is, on turn 1, if you have Malamar, that is pretty interesting. But let's move on. We've taken a lot of time about snooze. It's just 3 really good cards, and we really needed to comment on those. But let's move on with the news. Thatch, speaking of Tapus.
Yeah, Tapu Koko box is coming. I saw this actually not too long ago, mostly because I keep up with the pins. And so you get Tapu Koko pin. They've changed the pins from being in like the three pack blisters to these boxes with three packs and a promo card, which is pretty nice.
It is, and so they're roughly the same price right now.
Yeah, they're about the same price, and I mean it's also a much more manageable pace that they're putting out these pins.
Yeah,
instead of like 2%, I'm only getting one every once in a while, which I'm totally okay with.
Yeah,
that way I'm not spending all of my money on pins.
And, I'm gonna have to. These
are really cool, and it comes out May 19th, only in the U.S. That should be noted. And it does come with a Tapu Koko, a basic, just by itself. No GX left on the end or anything. Mm-hmm. And for double colorless, it'll do Flying Flip. It'll do 20 damage to each of your opponent's Pokemon. So that's not too bad. It's kind of like a buffed up Crobat or a Golbat in some sense. And you can do it for a double colorless, which is really nice. You can just kind of like slap that there.
If you want to do some spread damage, that's the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, it might be something interesting to throw into like a Vespiquen deck. I could see it, maybe not seeing a lot of play there, but it would be interesting.
Oh, and we're gonna talk about a card soon, later on in the new set, that will definitely pair good with this. So,
yeah,
this is important. Continue.
And then, of course, two lightning energy and a colorless, and you'll get Electric Ball.
Yep.
Or Electro Ball is probably going to translate better to Electro Ball because that's what they give everybody else. So for 100 damage. So, I mean, that's not the reason to use it. I think the reason to use it would be Flying Flip.
Yeah. And and like I said, we're going to discuss a card soon that it will make all sense. We already talked about this card previously on other shows, but I'm glad that Thatch read that through because we're going to go back to it soon. Now, we're going to continue for sure because we have news on a certain queen that has arrived. And everyone's favorite Pokemon mascot, Pikachu. So go ahead, Basket. What news do we have for that?
All right. So Pokemon Fiesta tournaments will be held in Japan this May. Those who attend will automatically receive a full art Pikachu promo. This
Which is
promo.
Pretty cute.
Sorry.
I couldn't read the. Yeah, sure. It's cute from your voice. Go ahead.
It's a Pikachu card, of course, Lightning. Its HP is 60. It's a basic Pokemon. For 3 Lightning, you can do Thunderbolt, which is 100 damage. Discard all energy attached to this Pokemon. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now, another unpopular opinion. Pikachu is trash. And all walks of life.
I don't
every
think
single
that's...
time.
And including this card. So. Yeah.
I don't think that's such an unpopular opinion, honestly. But yeah, continue on.
And then the other card that we have, which I think is pretty cool, because this is one of my favorite Pokemon from the new gen, is Tsarina GX. Mm-hmm. It's grass type, HP 230. It's stage 2. It has, for 1 grass energy, the move Glare. Switch one of your opponent's benched Pokemon with their active Pokemon. The new active Pokemon is now confused. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's basically a Lassiter.
And then, for grass and double colorless, Killing Sabot. Pronounce that really. It's my best guess.
Don't ask
which
me
is
Batch.
90 plus.
How do you pronounce Sabot? Rolling Sabot?
Sabot?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
S-A-B-O-T.
Sabot. I would call that Sabot.
Okay.
Okay. We have a ruling. All right. So it's 90 plus damage. If your opponent's active Pokemon is confused, this attached does 90 more damage, which is that synergy I was talking about earlier with Darkrai.
Yeah.
For 2 grass and 1 colorless, Queen Command GX, which is a super cool name for a card. Or for an attack, your opponent discards 4 cards from their hand. You can't use GX more than 1 per game.
Yeah.
yeah. So that's Tsarina GX.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's one of those cards that's like it has potential. Of there are better grass types out there, but it's still a great card. Thatch, any opinions?
Not really.
I'm kind of in the same wave as you. It's like, weird. It looks good. It has a good amount of HP.
Yeah.
It's grass, which means you can evolve it quickly, so it doesn't have that whole, like, oh, it's stage two. No, you can evolve it pretty fast, so it has that going for it. But at the same time, it's like,
It doesn't do anything spectacular.
Exactly.
At all. You can maybe do 180 damage, depending on whether or not your opponent has enough switches in their hands. But I feel like a lot of popular decks right now have that at the ready, like the ability to swap Pokemon out of the active slot.
Yeah.
Like Volcanion, that's its shtick, because you can't use its attack twice. So Volcanion decks are usually filled up with switches and escape ropes. Passimian is filled up with escape ropes.
Yeah.
Greninja Break is not so much.
But they have free retreat costs, so.
But they have free, that's why. So yeah, so you're losing the confusion on the Pokemon. There's plenty of ways to get around that right now.
Yeah. What about maybe, your basket?
Maybe after the rotation.
So for me, the reason why I like this card is because it has really great HP count.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty great. 230 is nothing to, you know, laugh no, at.
Yeah.
Even if you're not hitting for double, still doing you're still knocking out a standard EX in two hits. So you're two hit KO, and there are a lot of decks that are built around that. This card also, because of Force of Giant Plants, can get out there right away, and grass has a lot of synergy right now. So if you could come up with some sort of status deck or whatever, and be able to just throw this thing out there, I think it would be cool. But I mean, like I said before, I really like Tsarena, so I'm very excited for the possibility to have a usable one.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of basically a Lysander plus status. Yeah. You know? But you know, I don't know how practical it would be how practical Confusion is, because the only status heavy decks that I've ever ran did poison or paralyze, or poison and paralyze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think pretty much the GX move, I mean, that can be pretty nasty in the right situations too.
Yeah.
But there's a couple supporter cards that do that same kind of idea.
Yeah.
And
cost you a turn.
Yeah, exactly.
And much and less so, your only GX for the entire game.
Yeah, yeah. And I expect fans of the Pokemon to try pretty hard to make it work, but I don't see it being too close to a top tier deck, but I do like the card a lot.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on. Finally, there's some news on Rowlet, Litten, and Popplio promos from our Sun and Moon Collector's Chess tin that will be released at the tournament. So that's also worth noting. So let's go ahead and move on to our next piece of news, and that'll be me. And it's none other than Acerola. Now, I'm really glad that this card came out, because Acerola is really special for me in the sense that, so, there is a Caribbean berry back when I was chibi Jushiro, living in a small Caribbean island where we have our own different fruits and veggies. And one of those fruits that I loved was what is, I suppose, called, because I Googled this at one time, Caribbean cherries. Caribbean cherries are cherries from the Caribbean, and they're super sweet and sour, and I love them. Their juice was my favorite, and their word for those are acerola. We call them acerola. That's the name of those cherries in Puerto Rico and the whole Spanish community. So it's a lot of fun, that character, just because it brings so much good memories about my acerolas, my acerola juice that I would drink all the time when I was a kid. It's a lot of fun. But going back to the TCG, though, acerola will be available in Sun and Moon 2 Plus, and it's a supporter card, of course, and I absolutely love her. Choose one Pokemon with damage counters on it. Return that Pokemon and all cards attached to it to your hand. That is where I was referring to back with the Tapu Koko card. Now, I just realized something. It is choose one of your Pokemon, so never mind everything that I've been saying. I think...
Yeah.
However, it is still an amazing card, because this is basically a jacked up AC. Now, if you all remember AC, the supporter card, AC, when you played it, you would bring your Pokemon, but you will have to discard everything else. So you will bring to your hand the Pokemon and its evolutions or pre-evolutions, and then you would have to discard all energies or tools attached to it. Acerola is not the case. If that Pokemon has any damage counters on it, you are able to return it and all cards attached to it, including energies and tools, back to your hands. Now that is absolutely magnificent and great, because Super Scoop Up and AC were two main cards that we were always playing. And the fact that Super Scoop Up has been missing in action for the past few months, it is absolutely exciting to have Acerola back. What do you guys think about that? Let's start with you, Thatch.
I mean, it's kind of like having a Sky Return, almost. But for anything, I mean, it's nice that it specifies you need damage counters on the Pokemon, mm-hmm. because that's the only reason you should use it.
yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think you should. But, I mean, it's definitely interesting because it's essentially a refresh. And especially in grass-type decks, I think it'd be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Just because you could play it, get the damage off, and then just replay the Pokemon, essentially.
Yes.
And not a lot of Pokemon. I mean, it would work really well in Decidueye.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't see, like, too much use for it. But it's an all right card. It's definitely a lot of use for it. It's definitely going to see play.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What about you, Basket?
I think this is awesome. I mean, it's a... basically free. I mean, yeah, you're playing your only supporter, but it's a basically free 100% Super Scoop Up.
Yeah.
I think that this is a meta changer. I'm going to be getting a full play set. Possibility of like how much it can help you are pretty much endless. Like, you've got a GX or an EX that's about to cost you your last two prize cards. Not anymore. Stuck in the active slot. Not anymore. There's just so many uses. I'm really excited to start playing with this card.
Yeah, it is definitely a great, great card. I love it a lot, and I'm looking forward to it. This is a must-buy four of each. This is going to rank up in price and go to $15, $20 easily of how powerful this card is, just because you don't lose any cards. Again, going back to the whole energies and tool things, you don't lose anything. AC, we all remember AC. AC was a one-off in each deck. You have to have at least one AC, because that's if your EX Pokemon is about to die and you really don't want those two prizes, your opponent to pick up those two prizes because it could win him the game or it could get him that much closer to it. You would AC, and yes, you would lose all your energies and you would lose the tools attached to it, but you're making sure that your opponent won't get any prize. This is a beefed up, buffed up version of that card where you don't lose anything. Everything goes back to your hand and doesn't even go back to your deck. It goes back to your hand so you can just replay it whenever you want. So it is really, really, really good card. Moving on, though. Thatch, what's going on with our hobby shops?
I think this is really cool, actually. I was not aware of this until you just showed it to me today. So I think this is really cool. Starting with Guardians Rising, hobby stores are going to be allowed to sell the actual product before the release date. Like, I guess it's like a week beforehand, right? Or Monday, May 1st.
Yeah.
So it's the Monday before it comes out. Yeah. So that's actually really exciting.
It is really exciting.
I think it's really cool. I think that's something that would push a lot of people to go, if you follow the TCG, that is.
Yeah.
Like, if you're somebody who follows the TCG and you're just like, oh, the new set came out today, and you go to Walmart and you pick up the pack, I think it would be really cool to be like, oh, I follow the TCG. I know I can go 5 days early and go pick up the packs from my local game store.
Yes.
And I think that's a huge thing.
It is.
For one, it'll show your local game store, which is actually an awesome location to go to, no matter who you are or where you're at. And two, I think it's actually really good, because those packs are always cheaper at the hobby stores. And
that's true, too, yeah.
It'll become your new place to go pick up cards. I mean, seriously, like, I think it's like $4.20 to buy a pack of cards at like Walmart or Target now. Yeah. I can go down to my local game store and pick up a pack for $3.25.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a better selection anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, because they have packs from everything from like X and Y onwards.
Yeah.
I can go buy a pack of Roaring Skies still for $3.25 at my game store.
Yeah,
where else are you going to do that?
And there's a very, very particular reason why this Pokemon has given the authority to these hobby shops to be able to sell them beforehand, and it's really simple. Walmart, Target, don't hold Pokemon leagues. It is mm-hmm. the hobby shops are the ones that are, they hold our Pokemon leagues. They're the ones that create our tournaments. They're the ones that manage everything. So the fact that Pokemon is finally giving that edge to the hobby shops, saying, hey, you guys support us by having a league in your store and bringing all those Pokemon players to play in your store. We're going to support you guys by letting you guys sell our cards a week advanced. So people don't go like, oh, I'll just stop by Walmart or stop by Target and buy them. They'll go like, oh, no, they're already out in a hobby shop. I'm going to purposely go there. And while I'm there, I'm going to realize that there's a Pokemon League and I'm just going to continue on playing. So this is an incredibly smart move on the Pokemon Company International. And I really do clap for them for doing it. And because our hobby shops, our mom and pop stores need love, and this is a great way of showing that love.
Yeah, I totally agree. There so many hobby shops around me have like closed down and stuff like that. And even though this won't make like be a huge deal, getting that extra cash flow will help them out a lot. So I think it's a very, very cool thing on the part of the Pokemon Company.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go ahead and move on to the next, though, because we have more things to talk about in our news. And one of them is a certain surfing Raichu called the Alolan Raichu has popped up. And Basket, talk about it.
All right. So Pikachu was available as a promo blister in Japan. And Alolan Raichu and Lycanroc, they weren't announced yet, yet alone released in Japan. Fletchling and Fletchinder are also going to be in the Sun and Moon 2, Moonlight of Alola.
Yeah,
the rest of the cards are reprints, but with the trainer kit sets, symbols and numbers.
Yep. So they're basically reprints.
Yeah. I don't see any information on the Alolan Raichu.
Yeah, no, there's barely any information. I mean, we know what it does, and it sucks. It just has quick attack for 10 plus and flip a coin, like always. And then its second attack is electric surfer, which does 70 damage for one electric to double colorless. It's not good at all. The important stuff about this set, of course, is the fact that it's reprinting a few things, including Great Ball, Potion, what's the name of the rival in Sun and Moon? Help me out here, Batch. How? Thank you. So it's reprinting a few things. It is those classic trainer kits they always do throw out. We've seen those with Suicune and Lucha Libre. Pikachu, when they were in a heavy hyped up on, how's it called, Pokken tournament. And we saw that before with other cards. It's nothing really big, but it's interesting that they are reprinting a few cards, so that's always awesome. The important stuff on this is just that it's going to be releasing here in Europe. Here in America and Europe in April 21st, which is not that far off.
That's like the day after this show comes out.
Basically.
Also, go spend your money on, like, not that. Go spend your money.
Exactly.
Go spend your money on, like, I don't know, something good. Like, what is it? The Arena Battle Decks? Go buy one of those.
Which you can only find in Ohio, apparently, because...
Apparently. I still have a bunch of them. You want me to go pick you up one?
Like, we're going to have to talk after this show is over, because seriously, here in Washington, I have not been able to find anything. They're all gone, but maybe it's because we have the same problem here in Washington as Gator has in Florida. We just have a high
competitive... Yeah, I just said I went to a league with four people at it, so...
Yeah, no, we've been... Me and Basket have been in leagues here, and believe me, there's not just four people.
I mean, we also have the problem that we don't have a big enough scene to actually support a store that will sell singles. Yeah. So that's also another issue. So ours is much smaller, definitely. So that's probably that does probably contribute.
Yeah. So moving on to a little bit of news here. Karen, our favorite Night March killer, now has a full art. Karen will be reprinted in the best on X and Y in that is going to be released in Japan. We still yet to know if it's going to hit here in the US. But man, does she have a sexy full art. It looks really pretty. Of course, those who don't know, basically Karen is each player shuffles all of Pokemon's in his or her discard pile into his or her deck. This is basically a more tame version of Lysander's trump card, which we all know was the whole discard pile would go into your deck. So it's nice to have a full art for this card. Again, I've always expressed my favoritism in full arts. Trainers, I love them, supporters. I wish they would get rid of the old ones and just have full arts supporters and have them just be regular uncommon cards because they just are so pretty. I want all my supporters to be full arts. But anyway, we all can have what we want, of course. This is very clear. Now, moving on quickly to the last piece of news, which involves everyone's favorite fighting type Pokemon that you can evolve by trading. Machamp. Go ahead, Thatch. Talk about
it. I feel like that's a very good qualifier, by trading. So Machamp GX is out. It's been announced. Strong Energy's out of rotation, though, which really sucks.
It is? No, it's not.
Or is it not? It got reprinted.
I think Strong Energy came out in Primal Clash, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it came out. Well, I think it was out in Furious Fist. I'm not 100% sure, though.
We'll double check.
You could be right. So for two fighting, you get Cross Cut for 60-plus damage. If your opponent's active Pokemon is an evolution of Pokemon, this attack does 60 more damage. That's not bad for two fighting, honestly.
Not at all.
That's not bad. I think strong energy has to be in rotation, which would make that do, like, I think, 80 base. And so you could do up to 140, which if it's an evolution Pokemon, you are running legitimate stage 2s. That knocks out pretty much everything.
It was reprinted in Fates Collide. There we go.
Fates Collide, that's it. Yes. Okay, so it was reprinted, because I knew it came out in Furious Fist, because it was all about Mega Lucario.
We were both right in this case.
Yeah. I knew it came out in Furious Fist. I knew it was
in Standard still. I just couldn't remember where it came out.
It had to have been reprinted. It had to have.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And so for three fighting, you can do Earthbreaker for 130, and you can discard any stadium card in play. But if you're fighting evolution Pokemon anyway, which you probably are with Mega Evolutions and with anything else, you should still use the first one. But then it's GX attack, Muscle Punch, 180 damage. This attack isn't affected by resistance, and you can't use more than one GX attack a game. That would be really cool if you were set up and your opponent still didn't have, like, Mega Rayquaza out.
Yeah.
And it was just the colorless Rayquaza sitting there. You could just punch it and be like, haha, you don't have a Rayquaza. And they're like, but I've got two more in my deck. And and then you don't worry about it because there's nothing you can do. Yeah, you should have been playing a much better card.
Basket, any opinions on this card?
This is almost the Machamp I've always wanted.
Almost. Okay.
With the I see how it could be playable. With Shrine of Memories, you get all of Machop's goodies that we talked about last episode. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, relative powerhouse Machamp. 250 is a pretty hard benchmark for anything but psychic to hit. I love the second move, which is kind of a shout out to Mega Scyther's EX's Iron Crusher. But it doesn't have the ability to get rid of a special energy, which is a huge bummer, but hitting for 260 in two turns isn't something to be disregarded, in my opinion, at all.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like I'm still gushing a little bit too much because Machamp's a personal favorite of mine. So I'll just take a step back and say that it does take three fighting energy to get there, which is going to take three turns to do. But I like the idea of running Machamp GX and Zebstrika to punish anyone trying to get away with resisting Machamp's moves.
Yeah.
So I think this would be fun. Maybe if it gets some other support in some other way, then it would be fun. But it's not the one that I want.
Yeah. Thatch, you have any other opinions on Machamp?
Like I said, I feel like it's probably super niche. I am really excited to see the rest of Sun and Moon. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're only at, I think this is Sun and Moon 2 plus, so it's possibly Sun and Moon 3. I want to see the set after Guardian Rising. Like, I want to see that full set before I know what's going on. First of all, are we getting best of X and Y? That would be really weird.
I hope we get it. At this point, I just don't know.
I don't know.
I
don't know what they're doing anymore. Night March isn't legal here, but it is in Japan.
Yeah, and they're getting reprinted again in X and Y, Best of X and Y, including Shaming again. Yeah. Reprinting twice in Japan now. Shaman EX is being reprinted twice in Japan and none in the US. It makes no sense.
Wow. No one knows. I don't know. Wow. Maybe it'll see some play somewhere down the line. We definitely need a meta shift at some point, because I feel like the past 2 years, the types have kind of been where they are now.
Yeah.
There hasn't been like a huge shift, other than maybe fighting type got a little bit weaker when Furious Fist was dropped.
Yeah.
So
when we lost, what was the gym leader's name?
I know, Karina.
Karina. When we lost Karina and Fighting Stadium and all those.
Yeah, I think when we lost that, we nerfed fighting a little bit. So I'd like to see those come back just a little bit.
Now, for my opinion on Machamp, I like it just because it is fighting, like you said, and it does still have some support, like fighting energy, strong energy, which we've been talking about. So that first attack cross cut is actually, if you put one strong energy, it's 80. If you put two, it's 100 damage plus 60, so it's 160 damage, which is pretty not bad at all. And its second attack, 130, and you just got a stadium card in play, not bad at all either. I'm kind of disappointed on its GX attack. 180 damage, really? GX? Couldn't you do 250? Couldn't you do something more impactful? 180 seems like a regular attack's damage amount. So it's kind of surprising to have it, especially on Machamp, which is known to be this powerful powerhouse of a Pokemon, doing a maximum damage of 180 if you don't count strong energy. It's kind of weird, but it's still enjoyable. Now, the other thing that helps this card is the fact that we do have Maxi's Hidden Ball trick, which means that we could get it from the discard pile to your bench directly without evolving it from Machop and Machoke. But of course, like we all know, playing Maxi's Hidden Ball trick or Archie's Ancient in the Hole is always we don't know what's going to happen. If you built your deck really good, then you might be successful. If you don't, then it's all up to luck. But it is still very interesting, so it's a great, great card. I like it. I don't know if it's going to see much play, but I do see it has maybe some potential on it. So we don't know.
I'm wondering if they had it do 180 damage because they're expecting people to stack strong energies.
That's what I'm thinking too, yeah. It's interesting. And I do love the fact that it is not affected by resistance, which means Yvelta will get one-hit KO if it doesn't have a Fighting Fury belt attached to it. So it's definitely has its pros. Now, we're going to go and end the news. Finally, it was a long segment, but we finally done with the news. We're going to move on. Grab our pina coladas, grab our umbrella, our towels, lay on the beach, because it's time for Topical Beach, where we're going to discuss our guilty pleasure decks. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Topical Beach.
Welcome back to Topical Beach, guys. Feel the sun, feel the heat, feel the way, hear the waves moving on, and we're going to talk about our guilty pleasure decks. Those decks that we know deep inside, they're not going to win us any tournaments. We know that, but there's just so much fun to play. And that's why we play them in leagues and win against our friends, because they are either extremely fun or very annoying to your opponents. And that's always, always fun. Now, let's go ahead and start with Basket. What's a guilty pleasure deck that you've been playing?
All right, so I have four, so I'm going to go through them quickly.
Yeah.
So first one is the first deck that I ever tried to create from my own idea, which was a Toxicroak deck that basically...
Oh, I played against that, yeah.
Basically, if your opponent was poisoned, then Toxicroak would do more damage. And I had a Dragalage that would make it so that... Dragalge, that would make it so that you couldn't retreat if you were poisoned, along with not Spinarak, but the other one, Ariadote. So basically I could poison, and Toxicroak was immune to any attacks from a poisoned Pokemon. So I could do, I could use strong energy too, because it was a fighting Pokemon. So it was a whole lot of fun gimmicks with that. honestly, people enjoyed playing against something that was totally different. So that was a lot of fun. Another one was the deck and cover Excelgore.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, yep.
That one's a lot of fun. If it works, you're caught in this tornado of tiny little bee stings that just chip away your health slowly with a mixture of paralysis and poison. It's hilarious as a troll deck, but some matches can get long. And then it's no longer fun for anyone. Another guilty pleasure one is Night March.
Of course.
Because this got me into the TCG. And I understand all the hate for it, but its price point and its accessibility make winning with this deck a pleasure for people starting out and people who are, you know, hardcore players. I also may be one of the few to still think it's cool or fun. I mean, who doesn't love the idea of these little basic Pokemon just wrecking giant legendaries?
Yeah.
I mean, what is Joltik? He's not even like a foot. He's like half a foot or something tall.
He's less than that.
He's less than that. Yeah.
And he's wrecking Mega Rayquaza. Like, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Yep.
It's just a super fun concept. And honestly, there's very little guilt here for this one. But the last one is, but specifically Vespuken Flareon. It gets almost as much as hate as Night March, as it irons out some of, just a straight Vespuken deck's, issues that it has all by itself.
Yeah.
It's pretty hated in expanded play. But it is my favorite deck ever. The Queen Bee reigns supreme until it rotates out of expanded years from now, and I cry for years afterwards.
Yes.
But yeah, that's it for me.
How about you, Thatch?
I think I've been having a lot of fun with Typhlosion. The Typhlosion from Breakpoint. That's been a lot of fun. I don't know if that's a guilty pleasure deck or not.
Oh, it is.
I think. I mean, it's not very good, but it's a lot of fun.
We know it's not good. It's just so much fun to play.
I mean, I've been having a lot of fun with that just because, I mean, I've been doing a lot of the daily challenges on PTGO. Just because I'm going to level it up. I'm going to get all those cool sleeves and deck boxes and stuff. So it was, I was playing that, but it's just like, oh, you need to do 750 damage with your fire type Pokemon. And it's like, well, I could either play Volcanion EX or I could play Typhlosion. And you play Typhlosion and then you're just like, what's really fun is like that deck is surprisingly fast.
Yeah.
It is surprisingly fast, which I think a lot of people don't realize. Because you can get mulligan so many times because there's six basics in it. And you're going to get a Cyndaquil out, and there's a very high chance you're going to end up with a rare candy or a Skyla or something that's going to get a rare candy in your hand, and there's going to be a way for you to get a Typhlosion as well. So it's just so fast. You can get set up by turn two, and you can be doing, I think max is like 400 damage a turn.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, mm-hmm. But you're doing on average like 160 damage per turn, which takes out most things like right away turn two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I have a blast with that. Just anything that's like really truly like that. I mean, I want to say Vespiquen Substrika, but that's not really a guilty pleasure because that has won tournaments.
Yeah, that's a good deck. Like Basket said, it is guilty pleasure in the sense that people will resent you for playing them. Because they will automatically think that, oh, you're playing that deck means that you're going the easy way in. But that's not necessarily always the case.
They're just salty because they lose.
They're salty because they lose, and they spent the like over $100-some on Shaymin. And,
yeah.
So, like, I mean, Shaymin, like I said, and if it gets reprinted, I'm going to be so upset.
Yeah,
I'm going to be so upset if it gets reprinted just because I said this last show. I think that's the barrier to entry. And Basket's exactly right. Like, Night March is a great way for people to get in just because it's so cheap. And that used to be the big thing with Pokemon. It used to be super cheap to build decks, and then Shaymin ruined everything. That's honestly it. Like, if it weren't for Shaymin, I would be building decks left and right.
But
I can't justify to myself buying a playset of Shaymins.
Yeah, it's always
I just
rough.
Can't justify
and
it.
If it only was Shaymin, that would be great. But we also have VS Seekers.
Mm-hmm.
We also have, you know, numerous cards that don't reach the level of Shaymin's price, of course.
But they add up. They add up.
And just they add up really quick. I mean, $15 for a VS Seeker when you mm-hmm. need four of them, that is rough.
Yeah, and just, I mean, it adds up, and it's a pain. I really, like, I'm hoping if the rotation, the barrier to entry just drops.
Yeah.
You know, well, I just,
don't
I
hold
hope.
Too much hope for that rotation. Like I've always said on this show, it's that rotation looks so funny for me. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know what's going to happen either right now. I mean, yeah, I agree. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm hoping it happens correctly. I hope so. I mean, Night March is already outlawed in the U.S., so we'll see.
Let's see what happens.
If only, like, for Shaman not to be pulled, they would have to come out with something new or only take out Agent Origins. And if they only take out Vespaquin from standard play, I'm going to have a fit, man.
Oh, my gosh. I would have a huge fit. I would have a huge fit.
Yeah, Rory and Skies was an excellent set.
It was. There were a lot of cards in that. Like, there were a lot of cards that are standard in play. And I understand why, like, at times, like, those cards are so expensive. Like, $8 a pack or something like that.
Yep.
Because if you open one, you are going to pull something. You are. Like, yeah.
You are going to get something good out of it.
You will pull
more
something.
More likely than not, yeah.
You will pull something. Like, the EXs in that set were amazing, outside of Shaman. And you had... you had both Rayquaza. You had that really cool Latios, which I think is a lot of fun. That's somewhat of a guilty pleasure, I think.
Latios?
That Latios from Roaring Skies. I haven't built a deck with
it. Hardly sees any play nowadays.
Yeah, I haven't built a deck with it, but I want to, just because that is the only way you can legally donk in PTTGO right now. That is the only way you can donk, and I really want to donk somebody. I want somebody to put out, like, so it has fast raid for one psychic energy.
Oh, yeah, okay, I missed that. You're talking about the Latios.
Yeah, the Latios EX, and so if you had, it does 40 damage, so, like, say your opponent, like, puts out something, I don't know, I don't even know what it would be. Yeah, Froakie still got 60, right?
Yeah, but you get with Muscle Band, though, it does
60. If you got Muscle Band to attach to the Latios, and the Latios was your active, and you had a psychic energy, and you could do 60 damage, you could just donk your opponent if they only had one Froakie. Like, you could donk. That happened to me once. I was playing Night March, and I got donked by that card. And I was just like, I thought donks were illegal. I'm like, I need to build a deck around this. And actually, the last PTCGO, like, ladder was all about getting that Latios EX set, playset. So, like, I have a playset of them now. And so I want to try it out. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, that definitely was a very interesting and fun card to play out. And I did play against it in a few tournaments. So it was it really did some really, really frustrating things to me. But it's definitely a good card.
Yeah.
One of my guilty pleasure decks is Gengar Trevenant deck. Now, Trevenant was a really big deck back in the day, but Gengar EX and Trevenant decks were good, but not that good, which is what qualifies it as guilty pleasure. Now, the Gengar EX had its first attack, which was Dark Corridor, which would attack your opponent for 30 damage, and then it will go back to your bench. Now, what will you do is immediately add Trevenant into the active, making your opponent unable to use abilities. Item cards. So you will item lock your opponent by putting Trevenant on there. You will also do the same with Wobbuffet. If you will put Wobbuffet there, you will switch him into the active, and your opponent couldn't use any abilities on basic Pokemon. So it was a really tricky deck to play. I really liked it a lot. Now, why it wasn't that big, Gengar required more than one energy to be able to pull off Dark Corridor, unfortunately. And of course, it depended on Hypnotoxic Laser to do the maximum amount of damage that you could do. Because by itself, Gengar didn't do that much damage. So that was one of the problems it had. However, it was so much fun to play. And I remember playing this against Basket as well, where it was just great to see your opponent unable to play any item cards or unable to play any abilities, whichever I choose, because I had both Trevenant and Wobbuffet on my bench, which I choose. Okay, what does he have there? Okay, he has
was
nothing
that great?
Interesting.
Was that great? Was that great watching me not be able to
use
any abilities?
Oh, I enjoyed your tears so much and so hard.
Yeah, you like that?
I feed off your frustration so much. It gave me life when I drained yours. It was such a fun deck, and I love those decks. I love decks that are control decks, decks that you're completely in control of your opponent. I am not letting you play stuff because I'm trying to censor myself here. I am a bad guy. Let's just leave it at that. And I don't want you to play abilities. I don't want you to play item cards. I won't gonna poison you. I won't let you switch. I'm just gonna completely ruin your day and just feel so good about it at the end of my turn. But Gengar EX was definitely a fun deck to play, and I loved every second I played with that deck. It was super fun to play. Now, did it win me any tournaments? No, unfortunately, because it had its flaws, of course. You know, again, Gengar was too expensive, and it has its weakness to Dark, which means that you had Ivelta to worry about, and Ivelta would completely destroy you, and by the time that Gengar EX was legal and standard, Ivelta was all the rage, so I didn't have enough time to play with it as much as I wanted to in standard tournaments. But it was still a fantastic deck, and I don't definitely recommend it and expand it if you just want to have fun with it. Now, the other deck that guilty pleasure is anything with evolutions. Now, interesting fact, evolutions most of the time suck. There's a few of them that are good, but in the EX era, most evolutions EX sucked really bad. They weren't good cards. However, I am a big evolution fan. My favorite Pokemon, as you all of you guys know, is Jolteon. But I have almost the same amount of love to Jolteon's brothers and sisters. So I love playing evolution decks. Now, thank God we're in a meta where evolutions are actually viable and good cards. Thanks to both Espeon GX and Umbreon GX and Jolteon EX being actually a decent card. So now we are in a situation where we can play evolution decks, but that wasn't the case before then. If you really wanted to play evolution decks, you would have to realize that you're playing a deck that you will not win anything, but it was still a lot of fun to play to be able to have an AV on your bench and evolve it. What is it going to evolve off? Is it going to be a Jolteon? Is it going to be a Flareon? We don't know. Stay tuned. Let's see what happens. And it was just so much fun to play those evolution decks. So, back in the day, it was a guilty pleasure. Now, not so much, but still very fun. Any last guilty pleasure decks, guys, that you want to talk about?
Not really. Man.
Cool.
Really go ahead, fast.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the guilty pleasure jerks with the Greninja hammers and
What was it? Yes, Seismitoad with hammers and Lysander's trump card.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Shout out to all you guilty pleasure jerks.
So for those listeners that don't know, so the whole reason why Lysander's trump card was banned from Pokemon TCG was because of that Seismitoad deck. What was that Seismitoad EX deck? Well, that's very, very easy to say. So Seismitoad EX had one attack. It has more than one, but its main one was for a double colorless energy. It had Quake Punch. And it did 30 damage, and your opponent could not use any items at all. So you automatically item locked. There was no way of blocking it at that time. You couldn't block it because it wasn't an ability, so you couldn't shut down that ability. It was an attack. So it was automatic hit. It did 30 damage, and your opponent couldn't do anything. And then you build a deck around all the items to make your Seismitoad extremely powerful and your opponent extremely annoyed. So you would have muscle ban. So your Quake Punch did 50 instead of 30. You will have Hypnotoxic Laser. So you would poison your opponent and at the same time, was it Paralyze? No, it was Sleep. You would make it
was sleep. Yeah. Sleep and poison.
You would have your Viridian City Gym, which will make the poison do instead of 10 damage, it will do 30 damage. And then you would do all the annoying stuff as destroying energies with the hammers, as Basket said. And you would have all of those stuff, and you would use all of them on your opponent and just destroy all of his energies, just completely leave him poison and sleep, do damage, give him an item lock, and once you burn out through all of those trainers, you would just use Lysander's trump card and put him all back into your deck, rinse and repeat on next turn.
It was disgusting. It was disgusting.
That was the era where finally Pokemon said, we can't have this. Not only is it destroying the meta, but at the same time, it's making games too long. They're in tournaments, for example, the main problem is one of the tournaments, can't remember which one, people were running their 40-minute time clock on one game. Because they will continue renewing their discard pile. So they never ran out of energy. Completely eliminating one of the win options, right? One of the win options in Pokemon is your opponent runs out of their deck. Wasn't an option once Lysander's trump card was in play. It just wasn't happening. So, and of course, remember we have VS Seeker. So even if all of your Lysander's trump cards were into the sky pile, because the card did specifically say you would put all of your cards into your discard pile except Lysander's trump card, you still have VS Seeker. So you could replay again constantly. So you will never run out of deck. It was just ridiculous.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and end this topic here and move on. Well, first, of course, a word from our sponsors. But once we come back, we're going to talk about... We're going to go straight to our deck, actually, Trainer's Mail, and then Pokemon 15 questions. So we'll be right back.
Beat up Pigeons, Pidgeot Emporium. We got Pidgeys, Pidgeotos, Pidgeots, and all your basic flying normal type Pokemon. Need a Farfetch'd? Got it. Need a Doduo? Got it. Need a Staravia? Got it. Need a P-Dub? Got it. Need an average flying type Route 1 exclusive Pokemon? We got it. One more time. That's Peter Pigeons, Pidgeot Emporium. One final time. That's Peter Pigeons, Pidgeot Emporium. Go check us out today and tell them Puckle TCG Cast sent you for a 20% discount. Wowee! A 20% discount? No, make that a 25% discount. Do I have to make a 30? There it is, 30% discount. And so for that 30% discount, Peter Pigeon's Pidgeot Emporium. If we don't have it, it is an average.
It's Trainer's Mail.
Welcome back, everybody. So as you notice, we did skip deck of the episode. I apologize, guys. This episode's going really long, so but we'll definitely cover deck of the episode on the next show. Meanwhile, we're going to go to Trainer's Mail. We have a few mails here. Thank you for emailing us. So let's go ahead and start with that. I will start out with Robbie's email. Robbie says, "Hello, Puckle. Not to be confused with Chuckle Crew." Is that a reference to your show, Thatch?
No. Okay. Not at all. I think it's literally confused. Because Puckle and Chuckle rhyme.
Oh, gotcha. There we go. Okay. So
wait to totally kill his joke.
I think that is the joke.
Yeah.
There is a rhyme.
I thought maybe it was a reference to your show. Anyway.
No.
So I am decently new to TCG player and listening to your show. And I've heard it mentioned that some of you live in Seattle. We do. And I do as well. Hey, Seattleite.
Cool.
And I wanted to know where you get your cards and if and where you do tournaments. Also, what's your favorite Pokemon card? That is all for now. Robbie. Thank you for emailing, Robbie. So I'm going to maybe leave the... which is horrible. I know. I don't purchase cards locally. I am sorry. I should support
You're ruining
my...
the local economy.
I should support my local economy, I know, but it's just that much easier to just go on, you know, online and buy them online. Basket, do you have any particular stores?
I wish I could tell you, Robbie. Actually, I think the only one that I do buy cards at is actually Mox Boarding House in Bellevue. And that's the answer to the other question too. Those are typically the tournaments that I'll go to if I go.
Yeah. So what Basket says is right. The Mox Boarding House in Bellevue does sell cards, although they don't sell singles. So that's if you're looking particularly for singles, they don't do that. Unfortunately, right. They only sell packs and boxes, but at a decent price. There's also the Mox Tavern, which is their first store, which is in Ballard, which they also hold tournaments, and they also sell cards there, and they do sell individual cards there. Not much. Their collection in Pokemon cards is not that much, but they are still available. And tournament-wise, there's a lot of places here in Seattle, honestly. Both Mox places is an option, but if you go to Pokemon.com and you search for your event searcher, you will find that Washington and Seattle is just full. If you do want to run across us, though, if you want to play with us, we do tend to go to Mox most of the time in Bellevue. We haven't gone there in a while, but Basket and me are planning to go pretty soon. Definitely, if you want to show up, they're on Sundays between, I believe, 11 to 1, right? Or 10 to 1, Basket, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that?
Yeah, like 11 to 1 or 11 to 2 or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely go on Sundays. We're planning to go again pretty soon and play, so you can see us there for sure. And please call us on us. You'll definitely know who we are. It is the Hispanic-looking guy with the red-headed tall guy.
Yeah, the red-headed tall guy that's probably bowing down on some nachos because they have awesome nachos there.
They do have awesome nachos.
Oh, man.
For sure. So, yeah, thank you, Robbie. Hope to see you at Mox one day, and definitely call out for us. So, moving on to the next one, we have none other than the real EV. Basket, take over.
Hey, TCG crew. Hope everyone is doing well. I wanted to chime in on mechanics, on the mechanics episode, what I think should come back and what I think should leave. I'm in agreement with everyone. Last TCG cast, fossils just need to be removed. They keep us from playing a lot of interesting cards, but enough with, enough with downing. There are two mechanics I like to see come back or stay in some shape or form. First one is A-spec cards. If you ask me, it gives trainers the kind of GX-EX treatment in a way, making a special card that could change the tide of a battle, but you can only have one of, is really interesting. I think we're all for interesting gameplay. The other one is special energies. We've seen all sorts of special energies throughout the years, anywhere from double colorless to prism energy. I'm always excited to see what they do next with them. So far we haven't all sorts of, oh Jesus. So far we haven't seen any Sun and Moon exclusive special energies, but with the way the set is running, I'm really interested to see what they come out with. Have a great day, Puckle people. Thank you very much. And, punctuation is your friend, and I say that with so much love. It's hard to read the emails when I don't have a chance to pause or breathe.
Yeah.
So I would just say to everyone,
I've had so many emails, Basket, that I've read in my day that just haven't had like they'll be as long as that one, but zero punctuation.
Yeah.
And like no
this one joke. Does have something.
This one does have some, but, like, zero punctuation. And it's just like, oh, God. What's even worse is, like, they'll put it in, like, Comic Sans or some hard-to-read font. And it's just like what's yeah. going on?
With
it's
a like, weird color, going... like, so what? A shocking yeah. yellow. And I'm like, I can't see that yellow.
Yeah, like, I've definitely had emails that are hard to read before.
Yeah, and we appreciate you writing, though. Thank you so much, Real EV, for writing your emails.
Very, very
awesome.
Very.
And I do agree with both of your points. I think, like I said, your A-specs need to come back because I just like them. And I don't think special energies are ever going to be in a situation where they might go out. We've had special energies since forever, and they have never been out of the game. So I think that's a staple. You can count special energies just as basic energies. They're just always going to be around. So no worries there. They're always going to be around. They're just going to be different types of special energies, of course.
Yeah, and I love the I was going to say I love the idea of new special energies coming out for Sun and Moon. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've always said that it would be cool to have like either special GX energies that would count for two if you put them on a GX card. I think that will give GX cards a really big boost. Or energies or special energies that will give like C moves. Like, oh, this energy attaches
that's
to
what
one
I was
of your, yeah, one of your Pokemon, and you can use this GX move, and then you discard it at the end of your turn or something, and you can only have one. That would be awesome as well. There's when it comes to special energies, the possibilities are endless, for sure. Now, for our last email, we have none other than one of our own co-hosts here that we haven't had in a long time, and I've been fighting him for this. And you know it, Bo. You know it, that you and me, we've been talking. I need you on this show again. But you're a busy man, and I understand that. So, but Thatch, read Bo's email.
Okay, first, before I start, Thatch was here. Bo is a loser.
Oh.
I'm fired. Can we get some air horn? Okay. What's going on, guys? Bosef is here, and I wanted to comment on last episode's topic. Features we want back or would like to see return. Now, this should show my age, but back before Diamond and Pearls, so 10 or so years ago, there are these cards called Delta Species.
Oh, yes.
In my opinion, these were some of the coolest and interesting cards that had come out. Basically, the Delta Species were Pokemon that had different types than they normally would. I had an electric Charizard, a fighting Feraligatr, and a psychic Typhlosion, a steel Pikachu, etc. These cards were so fun because you could run two Pokemon together that would never be run together today because of typing. The possibilities were endless. The combinations were ridiculous, and it added a new fun twist to the 300-something Pokemon that existed at the time. Another fun quirk about them was they kept their original weaknesses.
Yeah.
So they didn't feel like completely different from the Pokemon that you knew. I just taught my Sceptile a psychic move instead. So anyway, that's just a big feature I felt got skipped out on last time, and I just wanted to mention. Smell you later, Bosifus.
And Bo is completely
good catch.
Right.
That's a really
yes.
cool thing.
That's mm-hmm. a really... Delta, for those of you guys that know, Delta Species was a set that was put out, like Bo said, and it had different
yeah.
typings. The whole point of the story behind that set is like a whole new island was discovered, and in that island, the atmosphere was different in a way that all the Pokemons had different typings because of it. So you had, like Bo said, you had electric Dragonites, metal Jolteons. It was the types were all over the place. It was really a cool set. I really did enjoy my time with it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's in Trainer's Mail. Thank you all for writing in. I really appreciate your emails. Like I said, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have your own guilty pleasure decks that you want to talk about, send us to us at PucklePodcast@gmail.com with the title Mailback TCG, so Thatch can identify which one is for this show and which mm-hmm. one is for his show. So please specify it's for the TCG cast, and we'll read it here. Let us know what you think. So we're going to move on to the last part of the episode, which is everyone's favorite Pokemon 15 questions. Let's see if we can stump both Basket and Thatch to guess which Pokemon it's today. See you in a bit.
Who's that Pokemon?
Welcome back, everybody, and it's time for Pokemon 15 Questions, Who's That Pokemon? And we're going to go ahead and try to stump our co-hosts. You guys know the drill. No internet, no Pokedexes. Lower your browsers. And, of course, no questions about either the Pokedex numbers or regions or... not regions. You can ask regions, but not generations. And nothing that is outside the game. Like, for example, this Pokemon come out in Heart Gold and Soul Silver? No, nothing game related. So mm-hmm. all inside. Let's go ahead and start. Order is going to be Thatch, then Basket, and going back to Thatch. So let's go ahead and start now. I have my Pokemon ready. Thatch, what's your question?
All right. So I like the strategy we had last time, where we kind of got lucky and asked like what things are weak to.
Yeah.
But I do want to start with like whether or not it's an evolution or not. I think that's a good. A good starting place. So does this Pokemon part of an evolutionary line?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Does it? Does it? Well, I'll just ask, is it a basic Pokemon?
No.
Okay.
Is it a stage 2 Pokemon?
No.
And you answered for TCG stage 2, right?
TCG, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so then it's got to be a middle evolution or only evolves once. So stage 1.
Mm-hmm. So it has to be a stage 1.
Yeah.
So let's see. So it's a stage 1. That's interesting. Okay. So we've
it's
got three questions
turn.
Down. Oh, okay. We're three questions down. So it has to be a stage 1, which is good to know.
Yeah. So it's a stage 1 that does not evolve.
It doesn't evolve. Wait, do we know it doesn't evolve?
Well, because you asked if it was a stage 2 and he said no. Oh, wait.
So it could still evolve. I didn't want to know that we should ask if it evolves.
Okay.
If it evolves further, I guess.
All right. Does it evolve?
No.
Okay, so it's a stage 1. That's good to know. Let's see. So now we should start narrowing down the type because we're like four questions in.
Yes.
And so let's see. So we should definitely ask about the weaknesses. I think that's a good one. I think the most common weakness. I actually was looking into this recently. One of the most common weaknesses would be something like be like ground or something, or even water. So I'm going to ask whether or not this Pokemon is weak to ground type.
Okay.
No.
No, it's not weak to ground type. So if it's not weak to ground, that means it's not a rock type. It's not an electric type. Dual types do screw this up a little bit, but
yeah.
She's
not a Alolan Golem. I can tell you that much. and it's not Pikachu. So we could ask like TCG types as well. I feel like that would be a good way to narrow things down. Like you could ask like what umbrella it would fall under. You know?
Is it
Because I feel like there's 11 TCG types, so that knocks out a lot of things.
Yeah. This is good because a lot of stuff's weak to
a lot I of would, stuff's huh. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, a lot of stuff's weak to water.
Yeah.
I think a lot of stuff's weak to water. Like rock, well, we already eliminated rock, pure rock, but yeah.
In the TCG, is it weak to grass?
Ooh, I like that. I like that. And the TCG is weak to grass, so it's not a water type itself. It's not a water type. I think
well, that's where we in that way, it's not a water.
It's not a ground. Type, it's not a ground.
But it's type also either. Not. It's also not a ground type. Correct.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, wait, you asked if it was a ground already. Damn
yeah.
it. Or dang
well,
it.
Well, I asked if it was weak to ground. So, I mean, let's see. So, let's see. What other Pokemon types are... He probably picked a dual type because of this last time.
yeah, let's ask
him if it's a dual type. Is it a dual type?
No.
No? Oh, yeah. So, we can actually do this.
Okay.
So, it's not weak it's not weak to ground, and it's not weak to grass in the TCG. we can just... We could go, like, ghost. Or, well, ghost isn't super effective to much other than, like, ghost and...
Is it weak to water?
No.
It's not weak to water. It's not weak to ground. It's not weak to grass. Man. So it's not fire. It's not electric. It's not water.
It's not dragon.
It's not wait, what do you mean it's not dragon?
Dragon's weak to ground.
No, it's not.
That is?
No, it's not. It's only weak to dragon and fairy and ice. Is this Pokemon weak to fairy type? That's a good question, I think.
No.
No, not fairy. So it's not dark fighting or dragon. Not dark fighting or dragon. What question are we on? Was that nine?
That was nine.
Yeah.
Go okay. basket.
Oh, geez.
That was nine. Let's see. So it's not dragon fair. It's not dragon, dragon dark. What's it called? Fighting. It's not ground. It's not electric. It's not rock. It's the only thing I think of is like psychic again, but.
And it's not water.
It's not. Oh yeah. It's not. Wait, yeah. It's not water. So I mean, it could be the only pure flying type is tornadoes. So we're not gonna go down that road again. We're not going down that road again. And let's see, man. So what other types are there? There's like steel. We haven't. Well, steel would be weak to ground.
Yeah.
So steel's out. Steel's out. The fairy type is still out there because we haven't asked if it's weak to poison. That would also eliminate grass.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one to ask.
Yeah. Let's say. Yeah. Is it? It's my turn, right?
Yeah.
Is it weak to poison?
No.
So it's not grass. It's not fit. Oh my gosh.
That's 10.
We've knocked out a lot. We've knocked out a significant number of types, though. I'm like pulling out a notebook right now.
There's 11. There's 11 types we've knocked out. So
we've knocked out a lot of types. Yeah. So we've knocked out. It's not weak to fairy. So it's not dragon. It's not dark. It's not fighting. It's not, and so the grass also knocks out ground. It knocks out water. It knocks out
Rock.
Rock. We've knocked out Rock. We've knocked out Electric. And then what do we just ask? Poison, so it's not Grass, and it's not Fairy.
Yeah, so Psychic and Ghost.
And Psychic, Ghost, Normal. That's one as well. I'm just trying to think.
Well, if it's not weak to Dark, or did we knock out Dark? We didn't ask
if it's weak to Dark yet.
Okay, so that would be a good one because
that would be a good one. That would knock out Psychic and Ghost. Yeah. Is it weak to Dark?
Yes.
Ah, so it is. It's got to be Psychic or Ghost then.
Nice. Okay.
Psychic or Ghost.
So let's see here.
He did that again to us.
I have a question about your answers, Jijiro.
Okay.
If it has a mega evolution, do you count that as a evolution or
no?
Okay.
I don't count for Pokemon 15 questions. I don't count mega evolutions.
Okay, in general. Okay.
Yeah. In general. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're at Psychic or Ghost. We got 5 questions left.
My go-to is it has to have its own Pokedex number.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it's a stage 1 Psychic or Ghost. Maybe it's Grumpig this time. He picked Spoink last time. maybe it's Grumpig. Stage 2, I mean, it could be Hypno. It could be, I don't know. I don't know too many ghost types that only have, like, I mean, other than Golurk. But Golurk's not dual or monotype. Miss Magus, it comes to mind. So like Miss Magus would be a decent answer. So I mean something like that. It would be, does it evolve via like a stone or something like that, I guess.
Yeah, so it could also be that's right. Never mind. He's also ground.
Yeah, there's a lot of dual types in that. So I feel like it's very safe to think of Miss Magus or something like that.
We need a question. Basket.
Okay. Is it a psychic Pokemon?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Never mind. So it's not Miss Magus. So it's a psychic type. It's fully evolved stage 1. And it's monotype. And
Dude, I think honestly,
Hypno Grumpig.
Think of Hypno Grumpig. Does that one weird bell Pokemon evolve?
Which bell Pokemon? Oh, Chimeko. Yeah, Chimeko is not a bad one either. I forgot about Chimeko.
And then Musharna.
Musharna. Yeah, I think those are 4 options. Let's see. What's in common with them? One's got a big nose.
We could ask if they have pink.
Yeah, we could ask if they have pink. That would eliminate something. Does this Pokemon have purple or pink in its design?
No.
No? What? So it's got to be like Hypno.
Okay, so yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be... Yeah, it's got to be Hypno, right?
It's got to be
Hypno. Wait. Maybe.
Maybe? What? That's crap. That's like a nothing answer. That's like not an answer.
He did say it was he's bad with colors. he said that on a previous episode.
would you consider it purple or pink? That's why I said purple or pink as a qualifier. Oh, what do you think?
Oh, we've been missing one. Wobbuffet.
Which one? Wobbuffet. Ah.
He's another one. That could be. Right?
Yeah, Wobbuffet would make sense. No.
Or question 13.
Yeah.
Okay, so a question. Okay.
For a basket.
Does this.
It's hard to eliminate types. Yeah. Go ahead.
Has this Pokemon always been part of an evolution chain?
No.
Ah, so it's gotta be Wobbuffet. It's gotta be Wobbuffet then.
Gotta be.
It's gotta be Wobbuffet. Should I just ask it?
Last question. Yeah, it's your last question. You have a choice.
Yeah. Oh, is this Pokemon Wobbuffet?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. Yeah. Very good, guys. So on the maybe it's because female Boba Fett has lipstick.
No, that's as soon as you said Boba, I'm just like, it's got to be the lipstick.
Yep.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I thought he was just being coy or something.
No. I will never try to purposely lead you wrong. It's just, I said no at first, but I'm like, no wait, female Boba Fett has lipstick and it's pink. So that's why I went back on it and said maybe. Because it depends if it's a male or a female.
Yeah, no, that's like as soon as you said Wobba Fett, I'm like, the purple answer makes sense.
Yep. Congratulations, guys. You guessed it on the question 15. That was an excellent round. I almost stumped you guys, but I'm so glad that you got it at the end. That was super fun. Of course, this means that it's the end of the episode. I hope you guys at home are enjoying the show as much as we enjoyed recording it. Thank you so much for listening. Of course, let me start the rigmarole. If you like what you're hearing, remember, please go to iTunes and five-star us if you want. Give your review. It always helps to get more Pokalonians into our podcast. It's always fun. Go to our Facebook group at facebook.com/TCG, Puckle TCG. We have a great Facebook group there. We got chats. We got posts that we do there. Sometimes I put some video uploads as well. It's always fun. Also go to our Reddit at r/Puckle, where you can find everything there that used to be our forums. Now it's just our part of our Reddit. Go to our Twitter. What's our Twitter, Thatch?
At Puckle Podcast.
There we go. And our Discord, Thatch, you want to go with that?
That is a series of random letters and numbers that will be in the show notes.
And of course, more importantly, though, it is if you have that extra money that you can spend, if it means you between you eating and giving money to us, then please choose giving money to us. Patreon.
Please don't.
Go to our Patreon and donate what you can. Every single cent that you guys donate goes directly back to the community. That's how we buy all of our tournament prizes. That's how we buy all the equipment that you guys listen to make the show better quality for you guys. Everything is spent directly back to the community to make sure our quality of our shows are great. And, of course, that you guys have the prizes and activities that you guys so much enjoy. And, of course, we have other shows. Not only do we have our flagship show, which, of course, we have some dude we don't know hosting it for apparently 8-9 years. I don't know.
This guy's really bad at it, too.
He's a jerk.
Did you hear him the last week? He, like, forgot to... He, like, overlapped some, like, audio tracks with each other. And what a noob.
But we also have other shows like the Movie Club and the Game Movie Club with Ethan and the Movie Club with...
Or Game Corner with Snag.
Thank you. Game Corner with Snag. Thank you so much for listening. Basket, thank you so much for being on.
No problem at all. And I just got onto the Discord as well. So I will be there sometimes to chat and stuff. So
yeah. There you go. Thatch, as always, it's an honor.
I'll be here.
And you guys at home, thank you so much for listening. Send us emails, talk about us, review us, tell me what you think. I love you guys so much. Now, as all you guys know, it's that time, and that time is... We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.